ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey!
How we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brendan behind the glass. It is a Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees. You know what other edition it is of the Killer Bees? It's the day where Deshaun Watson settles 20 of his 24. Potato, potato, right?
Right.
24 of his 20 of his 24 civil cases. Big day for Deshaun Watson, I suppose.
Well, I mean, yeah. If he's trying to get as much off his plate as possible so that he can try and get back on the field and get all this behind him, at some point you had to do something. I think that the most amazing part of this was the man that has been so boisterous about, we will not settle, we are not giving in, these women are not about the money. Tony Busby was the guy that basically announced in a press release or a statement that said they're finishing up the paperwork, but that 20 of them are behind. They're not going to release the finances. They're not going to release the details.
Somebody will leak it eventually.
Yeah, and you got to believe if the rumor was that I think the minimum was $100,000.
See, like, Deshaun was also very adamant about clearing his name, too, though. So, like, the Busby side of it, where he was like, oh, yeah, we're going to go all the way to court, in which four young ladies still have not had their cases settled, so maybe that will still end up to court. The threat of going to court is still there, which is why it's kind of fascinating to me. Why the 20 over the 24? Like, I understand that you want to cut down the number, that you want to cut down the volume. It's easier to get 20 of the 24. If your goal is to settle all of them, then you start, you know, eating the elephant one bite at a time, right? But the threat of court is still there. So, like, it's fascinating to me in that front, like, how the NFL is going to view the settled cases versus the non-settled cases and still the overall amount. Like, we know that there was 24 right now. There could be more. We know that at one point in time, there was 24 civil cases filed against Deshaun Watson. There's currently four because 20 of them have been settled. Like, do you think the NFL is going to view those differently? Like, 24 unresolved civil cases versus 20 settled civil cases and still four unresolved.
I think
unresolved.
Rusty and Deshaun are under the belief that once they're settled, they are off the ledger and that there's nothing to discuss, as if almost nothing ever happened.
But the NFL is not going to view it that way.
You hope not, but you don't know because the NFL is so volatile in terms of how they make decisions and the way that they go about their business and everything that we've heard in terms of the lack of depth when they went to talk to all these victims and talk to all these people involved in the process. So I would tend to believe, you know, side with you on that, but I want to believe that, but you just don't know. I do believe from Watson's camp's perspective that they believe that the settled cases mean that no harm, no foul. Nothing was ever, you know, done, damn it, you know, there was nothing ever proven that he was guilty on. Sure. They expect to be able to walk away from them.
No, that to me is the difference between, like, living as a human being and playing in the NFL. Because I do think that you're right. Like, trying to predict what the NFL is going to do is a crapshoot. Like, it is very volatile. And you've seen the cases. There's nothing really similar to Deshaun, but we've seen other suspensions for cases that didn't get to criminal court, that were civil allegations. We've never seen the volume of Deshaun Watson. So it is very difficult, I agree, to figure out what the NFL is doing. But whenever I heard, like, the settlement, like, the first thought that came to my mind is, like, okay, well, why 20 of the 24? Like, you understand that there's still communications with the other four. I'm sure they're still negotiating. I understand that you want to cut down the volume of how many there are. Eat an elephant one bite at a time. But you still have the threat of court that's looming if you don't get the settlement done with the other four. It's interesting to me that it's not the mindset that Rusty Harden had, remember, after the November 2nd trade deadline, where it's all or none. They had this all or none mindset for a very long time, but now suddenly they don't. And my biggest takeaway from all of this as to why they suddenly don't, I believe that there's a deadline coming up. I feel like the NFL is going to announce their suspension very soon. When was the last time that Deshaun Watson was close to getting a settlement deal done with any of these
women? Dolphins.
The November 2nd trade deadline. Why did they all of a sudden feel pressure to get a lot of those settled? Because Deshaun Watson wanted to play football. Because there was a trade deadline that loomed. Right now, I think that there is a deadline looming, and I think that deadline looming is the NFL about to drop the hammer on Deshaun Watson over the next week or two.
I mean, it's quite possible. I think that the interesting thing to me is that of the four, I believe that Ashley Solis is one of them. And sure. I believe she was the first one to come out, and she was the one that said, this is far greater than about the finances. This is about the being the victim and what she went through and wanting him to pay, literally, but also to pay in the court of public opinion. So all it takes is one. We've said this all along. It only takes one. As much as Busby has gotten his name out there and represented all these ladies, and he made the statement too, not any one of them is about the financials. But at the same time, if there is one that is going to make a stand and make sure she sees it all the way through, you would believe it's her. So as much as Deshaun tries to clear the ledger on everybody else, it's going to be real interesting if and when she decides to settle. Because if she doesn't, no matter what else he does, the damage is still going to be done, and it's going to be done even further.
That's to me why it's curious where it's not the all or none mantra that it seems like Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson have had for quite some time. Remember, Deshaun Watson, as recently as last week, talking at minicamp, saying that his intent was still to clear his name. And look, I understand. Like, one of the sayings that I hear a lot in regards to the settled cases, 20 of the 24, is that settlement is not an admission of guilt. We understand that. And we also understand that Deshaun Watson's not being criminally tried currently, and the chances of him being criminally tried are probably very, very, very unlikely unless there's new information, new evidence that comes up. You got no build in Harris. You got no build in Brazoria. And we all listen to the Mike Meltzer podcast talking about the fact that, look, that's not also an admit, like in, what's the word I'm thinking of? I can't think of it off the top of my head. But it's not an admission of innocence either whenever you get no build. It's just that they don't have the evidence to prove it, which we understand that in the Deshaun Watson case. So I'm just trying to figure out why all of a sudden Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden, their team went for it's either none or it's all, to now all of a sudden they have 20 of the 24 cases coming done. We've read the tea leaves that the NFL commissioner's office from various reporters around the NFL that they want to get something done. I've read that they could get something done around the July 4th holiday. So the fact that I've read that, I've heard the tea leaves on the fact that suspension is coming maybe at the very beginning of July, and now all of a sudden 20 of the 24 cases get settled, throwing in the fact that the last time Deshaun Watson was close to settling with a lot of the women was on the November 2nd trade deadline. My biggest takeaway of this story is that the NFL is about to announce their suspension over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think that they'd like to. I think as much as, and I think I use this from a Texans fans perspective, right? At a certain point, you just wanted it to be behind you. You wanted it to be over. It was that never-ending black cloud of negativity that brought you down every time you wanted to be hyped about the Texans draft or the Texans upcoming season or adding youth in the rebuild, and you couldn't get away from it because of everything that was still lingering. I think the NFL sees this as a huge stain, and the quicker they can try and put it behind them, the better. And I think in a lot of ways they've tried to do that so much so that it was kind of callous in the way they went into their investigation and careless in the way that they didn't do the kind of in-depth that a lot of people, including Tony Busby, were expecting them to do. But at the same time, from a massive marketing juggernaut that the NFL is and imaging, they want this thing to be in the past so that they can move forward from it as soon as possible. That's why they, as much as they know they misstepped with the Ray Rice and having to go back and make a second decision after the video came out, they're going to try and get this done before the start of the season.
And I think the NFL would love the idea if nothing else can come out of this, right? Like 20 of the 24 that have settled are also, you know, putting together an NDA where they can't speak of the subject. So the NFL is going to want that with all other ones. But that's kind of why I'm confused of the, okay, you got 20 of the 24 done. There's progress there, but you're still not all the way to the finish line. Like, if you're trying to, you know, tie up loose ends, you've not tied up all the loose ends. And to me, four is just as great as 24. Because if just one of them gets to civil court, that can be damning for Deshaun Watson, just like 24 was. So that's why I was asking you the question earlier. And I know that the NFL is very difficult to predict what they're going to do. They are very volatile. All of that is true. But I wonder how the NFL and Roger Goodell look at this. 20 settled cases versus 4 that are still ongoing versus 24 that are still ongoing. Because to me, it's add them up. You still have 24 sexual misconduct cases, settled or not, on either side of the equation. Like, this to me should not factor into the suspension of Deshaun Watson.
What else did I tell you, Jeremy? After the last article, we identified 66 massages. It might even be more. But we knew at least, yeah, to kind of put it in perspective. We knew that there were way more than the 24. So now, if I'm one of those in-betweeners, if I'm like in the 30s, right? I'm one of the first 35 massage therapists. But so far, I've said I've got no problem with Deshaun. I'm not saying anything.
Right.
But all of a sudden, I read SportsCenter, you know, the website, or I see SportsCenter Day, and I see, oh, wait a minute. 20 of these women, just for doing a massage and doing it a little dirty, got paid that much money. Now, maybe, I'm just saying from the standpoint.
I feel like that could be misleading there. Because, I mean, there's a lot of these women's feelings are like, one, very valid and
absolutely,
we should take for merit. So, like,
but I'm saying if you're out there, and maybe you were one of the 15 that initially said Deshaun didn't do anything wrong. But the one thing that the NFL and Rusty and Deshaun can't prepare for is they can change their mind at any time. And of the 66 or more, though 15 supposedly were okay with everything. Okay, so now we got 51. We've got 24 in which 20 are off the books. That doesn't mean that somewhere in between after 24 and before you get to 51, some of these other women are going to go, time out. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I saw the statute of limitations on this like runs up like I think it was either March or May. So like the fact that there could be more cases is could happen. Now, of the 66 masseuses, not all of them had sexual misconduct with,
right,
Deshaun Watson. But to be naive to think that there's not
going
to be
more,
not licensed. I mean, what's, yeah, defining a masseuse? Like, it licensed versus non-licensed. There were a lot of non-licensed that we found out about the New York Times piece on Deshaun Watson. 713-780-ESPN. What are your takeaways of Deshaun Watson settling 20 of the 24 cases? Should it affect the suspension length for Deshaun Watson? I say no. 24 is 24, whether it's 24 that are ongoing or whether it's 20 that have settled plus the four that are still ongoing. Also, when we return, I want to talk about this from a Houston Texans point of view, a Cleveland Browns point of view. What's the difference for the Browns in 2022 with Watson and without Deshaun Watson? 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We do that next. Killer Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you all about new brakes. If your brakes are squeaking or you feel like you know that you need to get your brakes done at a certain point, you've been putting it off, don't put it off anymore because new brakes come to you to do what they do. That means you don't have to go to them and wait in a bad waiting room and be at the mercy of a mechanic and then be attempted to be upsold on all the other things that are going on your car. No, the bullet points you need to know about new brakes is they come to you, whether it be your job or your house, wherever you are. And while you're doing other things and multitasking so that you stay on schedule for the day, they're fixing your brakes and they do it better than anybody else. They do it in 45 minutes or less in most cases. They did it for me here at the station. It took 40 minutes from beginning to end, and they did fantastic work. And the fact is, they use the same parts as any brake shop in town. They have the same competitive prices as any brake shop in town. They don't do upsells because all they do is brakes. Their certified technicians come to you, do the job, and go on to the next appointment. So they take care of you every step of the way. You get to save time. They make sure they do it right, and you get a brake job done at your convenience, and you are happy about it. Check them out today. Go to nubrakes.com. That's nubrakes.com. Mention ESPN97.5, save 10%. But more than that, save time, which is saving you money, and that's the reason why you go there to begin with. Check them out, nubrakes.com.
ESPN97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What's the difference for the Browns with Watson or without Watson? 713-780-3776. I've seen a lot of people criticizing Rusty Harden with the settlements today. The 24 of the 24 settlements in the Deshaun Watson civil cases for sexual misconduct. And they're saying, I've heard it pretty much everywhere, that Rusty Harden's words, whenever he was on with the Highway to Hell, where he said that happy endings aren't necessarily illegal, affected the case of Deshaun Watson. I could not disagree more. I don't think that Rusty Harden saying that was a good thing, but How does that affect Deshaun Watson, who he's doing happy baby yoga poses and is asking females to put certain parts of their body into certain parts of his body, and he's a disgusting pervert. The fact that Rusty Hart and his counsel said that on the airwaves on the highway to hell doesn't change my opinion of Deshaun Watson in the least.
No, but overall, especially when you take a guy with his resume, with his credibility in a lot of ways as a lawyer, to hear him so callously and flippantly talk about it like it should be no big deal, I think that disgusted a lot of people even further. It's one thing to be disgusted with Deshaun's actions in the massage rooms. You're absolutely right. But I think that overall, you would expect that your counsel and representation, especially when they're trying to paint the picture of an image that we kind of already know isn't there for Deshaun, but until all these things are settled, you are trying to paint the picture of being the squeaky clean, innocent Deshaun Watson. And when you just go flippantly out with a statement like that, it turns everybody against you.
Well, they weren't trying to paint Deshaun Watson as squeaky clean. Their whole case was that Deshaun Watson was having sexual conduct with these masseuses, but doing it consensually. Like, what he said on Highway to Hell was their case with Deshaun Watson.
Right, but what I'm saying is to callously say that and say that at a massage, these things can happen and almost act like it wasn't dirty or improper, that it's just one of those things that happens when you get a massage sometimes and it's not illegal. It kind of flippantly passed off the fact that, hey, this whole thing is kind of a hill of beans. What are we doing in the first place?
Sure. Again, I don't think it was a good thing to say, but I don't think it affected the case whatsoever, and I don't think it affected the settlement
whatsoever. What's done is done, right? And all the documentation is already in.
It was a wash in terms of how much they spent.
Court of public opinion, it's different, but
sure,
yeah, absolutely.
Sure, I think court of public, but even, I don't know. Like, court of public opinion, the fact that Rusty Harden said that it's not illegal to get a happy ending, and then we see the depositions where he's getting a happy baby yoga pose, that didn't change the negative opinion or negative stain that I have for Deshaun.
Now, we haven't heard it yet, and we don't know if it would possibly happen, but I would relate that to the HBO special coming out.
Yeah.
The fact that there were females that didn't feel it necessary to come out and do anything to take action against him until they saw that special and then decided to react, going, no, I can't let him get away with it, and I'm not doing this. I think that could have been a reactionary result of Rusty, too, where if it was a Houston masseuse and everything, they were kind of just laying in the weeds going, you know what, I'm just not going to do it. I don't want the attention. But you hear his attorney come out and flippantly say something like that and go, okay, time out. No, that's where I draw the line.
I can see it from that point of view. I could see where, like, all of a sudden there's one woman who was on the fence, and now she's like, look at this, you know, jerk that's talking so, you know, carelessly about that. I can see that from that point of view. But as far as, like, me having an opinion of Deshaun Watson, Rusty Harden saying that happy endings aren't illegal, it did not sway my view of Deshaun Watson and the disgusting pervert that he is in the very slightest. In fact, I think the HBO piece did far more damage for Deshaun Watson in their case than Rusty Harden saying happy endings aren't necessarily illegal.
I'll tell you what, Jeremy, when you look at the clause that's in the players' agreement that currently exists with the NFL and the clause as it relates to the negative imaging that can happen from your actions while representing the National Football League and being a player in it, and you look at it, the details in the Sports Illustrated article, the details in the articles that have come out, and the details of the HBO piece, things like that,
yep.
I don't know that anything could be more damaging
in
what comes out in court.
And that's my point about Rusty. Was it a good thing that he said? No. But did it negatively influence Deshaun Watson? No, absolutely not. There was already, like, bare minimum for my opinion of Deshaun Watson. Nothing that Harden said on the highway to hell was going to influence that. I think the HBO point that you bring up is a very good one, though, because it's now audible, right? Like, you can hear it. Like, a lot of people aren't going to go read the New York Times article. They're not going to read the depositions. Let's be honest. We're 2022. We like things spoon-fed to us. So whenever you see the video of it, whenever you see it on HBO, whenever you see people taking excerpts and clips and putting that on Twitter, now it's easier to digest than, like, looking at this long-form, long piece in the Times or some long-form deposition that's copy and pasted onto ESPN.com. I think more people, that resonated with more people, and it got more people aware of the entire saga. Not that it was new information, but I think the awareness of more people became a much bigger net.
Well, if you look at trends in Twitter, and it went from just Deshaun Watson, where people started to the happy baby yoga pose,
right,
where suddenly everybody was now, you know, intrigued by, what is this and why is it trending? And then, oh my goodness, and oh my, that's Deshaun Watson? And you look at it from that perspective alone and say, you might not have been interested more than a passing glance at when this thing started. Now it's like that accident you can't turn away from on the side of the road. You're rubbernecking and you're waiting for the next piece of information to come out going, how sick is this dude and how many cases are there?
The other thing that I wanted to get into, and if you have some thoughts, we'll take them. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Some of the things you're sending are just disgusting. 713-780-3776.
Didn't you just say keep sending them?
That's the point. That's a joke. What's the difference of the Browns with Watson or without Watson? We'll get to that in a second. There's one other thing I want to talk to from like a court perspective, and it's the settlements. Because I've seen a lot of like the feedback coming today. Oh, what took so long with Deshaun Watson settling these cases? He should have done this a long time ago. How come he hasn't done that? Why isn't he settling the other four right away? It's not an easy thing to do. Like, everybody looks at settlements as like, oh, yeah, it's a layup. It's just something that you can write the check, and all of a sudden it's done. You can wash your hands of it. The amount of hours that go into the negotiations and then the arguing between both sides' counsel, right, the attorneys on both sides, like, you're going back and forth, tooth and nail, trying to get every little bit that you can, and there's really no urgency to settle the court case or to settle these civil cases until there's deadline, right? It goes back to what I was saying last segment, that the last time that Deshaun Watson was remotely close to settling a case was November 2nd, trade deadline. He thought he was going to play football for the Miami Dolphins. I think this time, and this is me predicting, it's not a report, I believe that the NFL is going to drop the hammer. I believe it's going to be July 4th weekend, because when can you bury the news? Friday right before July 4th. I think that's the day to look for Deshaun Watson, or that week, like a Thursday, Friday, late in the week before the July 4th holiday. But settling cases is not easy. So like the idea that Deshaun Watson, oh, write the check, just get this over with.
See, but I think,
with.
Jeremy, the other thing in settling cases not being easy is depends on the counsel that's representing the other side of
sure.
things. And I think that we knew from the jump that Tony Busby was not going to be an easy settle. He was in this for the publicity and for his own benefit as much as he was for every one of these women he was representing, because he knew the longer it played out, the more that it would be, it'd get uglier, the more details would come out, the more that you would think that they would, Rusty and Deshaun would want to react from the jump to say, to try and have any semblance of saving some sort of his reputation and his image. They would want this to stay under wraps. But that once it got going full steam and it was rolling down the road, that Tony was going to ride that truck as far as he could, and it was going to take a pretty big act on Deshaun's part financially for him to start considering not riding it all the way out.
No, I think you're right. I think the fact that you had Busby on the other side, I mean, a heavyweight. Remember whenever this whole thing first started, it was Deshaun and then the accusers and what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, like, Busby's the one that's filing the charges before even Harden even took the case. And then all of a sudden, Deshaun Watson hires Rusty Harden. And the thought was like, you have two heavyweights going toe-to-toe. So you knew it was going to be a long, drawn-out process, and that Tony Busby was not going to just, you know, roll
over. It was going to be a clash of the Titans that people were going to sign up for. They wanted to see it for the attorneys as much as they wanted to see the cases.
And let's be honest, Busby knows what he's doing, and he also knows how to play the time game too, right? Like, a lot of times the best thing you can do is just wait. Like, just hold on. Like, don't do anything with any sort of urgency, because, again, deadlines are what create activity. The closest this came was November 2nd to getting something done. So, but I think, like, the part where you say, like, Busby's in it for his own fame and stuff like that, and Tony Busby has actions and antics over the course of his legal career where he has been that type of person. I'm not even going to say that he hasn't been in this case. I just think that sometimes saying that Busby's in it for own personal accord sometimes is like taking the civil cases lightly, like taking the women lightly.
I'm not trying to take anything away from the cases themselves, but this is the same way. He's got a business to run too, right? And he wants future clients as well. And you look across the board, Ben Crump is one of those guys too. Ben Crump now is the premier guy that in a lot of cases or across the nation, as it relates to African-American relations and otherwise, that is going to be called on first. Tony Busby is going to make a name for himself. And part of the reason why a lot of these women probably said, I don't have the money for you to represent me, that he said, oh, no, I'll show you. There's a way to do that too, where you don't have to. Because Tony Busby, with each case that was added to his portfolio as he represents them, gave him more of a steamroller effect as he got out there in front of the media and as it relates to them getting what they wanted at the end of the day, because it had more impact going at DeSean and Rusty.
All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in on this. 713-780-3776. When we come back, we'll get to what I teased last segment. What's the difference between with the Browns, with DeSean Watson, without DeSean Watson? And that's huge for the Texans because you own their 2022 draft pick. We'll discuss that when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Have you settled at 22 civil suits?
That's not my intent. My intent is to continue to clear my name as much as possible, and that's what I'm focused on.
That was DeSean Watson last week. Not his intent. Oh, that was when he was introduced in March. But he also said that last week during the mini-camp press conference that he had with the Browns. He said that last week as well. So as recently as last week, DeSean Watson saying that he had no intent to settle any of his cases. He wanted to clear his name. And today it comes out that he has settled. Tony Busby saying it. So it's not reports. It's not, you know, all this stuff. Tony Busby has released it. That 20 of the 24 civil cases have been settled today. Look, I'm not blaming DeSean Watson for settling the cases. I think he should settle them all. I don't think it's easy to do, and he's going to end up paying a lot of money. But the perception of DeSean Watson is already a negative one. I don't think he's going to do anything to clean it up, but it can only get worse. Like, the threat of civil case could make it worse. And we saw this recently with the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp fallout. If any of this stuff gets to court and you start to see the memes and the videos and the, you know, people at the bench trying to, you know, handle examination and cross-examination, it would be a very bad thing for DeSean Watson. I think legally speaking and for the career of DeSean Watson, it's better for him to spend as much money as possible to try to tie up these loose ends, accept the NFL suspension, which I don't think should be affected by this being settled, 20 of the 24. There's still 24 cases of sexual misconduct.
I think as it relates to what you were talking about to start the segment about DeSean and how adamant he was early on, he made a business decision. At a certain point, if this continued to linger, which nothing said it was going to slow down, and like we said, we don't know. Look, after the HBO special, we added, what, four to the mix? Who knows if there were going to be more? The fact that he made a business decision with Rusty Harden, mm-hmm. that no matter how adamant he was early on in basically taking a stand and seeing it through, he knew that it could be, even as damaging as it's been so far, it could be like, way more damaging the longer it continued to roll.
I mean, look at it from now to when it started and how much more damaging it got.
Yeah. And with each, like we said, with each article, with each passing detail, with each, you know, new little twist of information, mm-hmm. and people going, what the hell is that? Or why was he doing that? That, you know, you think about it, because early on the indication was he lost about $8 to $12 million in endorsements as well. Those endorsements aren't coming back. No matter how much he makes with the Cleveland Browns, pretty much rest assured, his days of endorsing products are over.
Right.
And so the longer this thing continued to linger on, the more that not only were those things over, but there would be more negativity that would continue to follow him wherever he went, whatever he tried to do, and he made a business decision.
Yeah, I think it was, from a business decision perspective, I do think it was the right thing to do. For the ones that are saying, well, he should have done this long ago, like you mentioned, Tony Busby wasn't going to let that happen long ago. And then also from like the NFL and the suspension, which I think is coming. I think we're going to see that over the next couple of weeks. I think that's what spurned this activity here. That's what created this activity. As far as that goes, the NFL should not change their mindset of handling DeSean Watson because of the settlement. Because I understand that 20 are settled and now there's four ongoing. I don't know how that looks better than just 24 ongoing. So, like, you still have 24 cases of sexual misconduct, and the NFL should act accordingly.
So I ask you then, where do you think the suspension should be and where are we starting? Because we started with six when you and I started this conversation, what, 15, 16 months ago. We started with six. We used the Zeke case as a benchmark. You weren't convicted, but because of the bad look it was towards the league and to the team and everything else, the league gave him six. Now you look at it, and we've got everything still on the table. 20 of the 24 are settled. We've heard that they were watching the Trevor Bauer case very closely, though he was not convicted. He was not, you know, criminally processed, but yet he got 2 years. When you look at it, to me, I believe the starting point seem, and I could be wrong, but I just feel like he's going to get a year. I feel like he's still at a year as the starting point for the NFL.
Look, I think a year is probably the most popular answer. Like, if I see people trying to predict what the NFL is going to do, the year is the one that I see more than anything else. And the NFL is very hard to predict. I think the Trevor Bauer situation does come into play a little bit here. The fact that Major League Baseball gave Trevor Bauer 2 years, I think that the NFL took notice of that. I don't think that they're ultimately going to mimic and copycat Major League Baseball, but it does play a role. It is a variable in the equation.
I think if nothing else, it makes them take an even closer look at it to make sure they handle it the right way.
I agree. And then the fact that there is so many, and I understand that 20 got settled and there's only four still ongoing, there is at one point in time a peak of 24 sexual misconduct cases and still potentially could be more. I think that's going to play a role as well. I look at it from like, I think a year is within the range. I feel like a year is at the top end of that range though. Like, do you see like 20 games? Like, I don't think that Deshaun Watson gets more than a year. I think a year is probably the high end of the range, but probably the more likely answer.
Here's where I think that the other thing that I'll factor in. If they're not able to get it done for whatever the reason, if they're not able to put to wrap everything up by the start of the season and make a decision, I think that they also realize that I don't think they're happy in the way the Browns did the extension too, that he's only making $1 million this year. So he's not taking the penalty in the pocketbook that they would like. I could see this rolling over into next season, but I could see him being on the suspended list early while they still see. Because I think now, more than ever before, when we talk about due diligence, I believe both sides were doing their due diligence. But I believe the one thing the NFL didn't do that now probably the people internally are starting to realize they need to do is find out how many more potentially could be out there. Because I don't think they expected these last four. And so now, if they want to make a decision, they want, again, going back to the Ray Rice past precedents, they don't want to make one decision and then have a video pop up after they make their decision. So they're going to go back now and make sure, no stone unturned, I need to find out how many more possible cases could there be?
See, I think a year is probably going to be, like, I think that's the most popular answer. I think ultimately it's going to be the answer. I just don't see more than a year. Like, I don't see them going beyond a season. So,
but what if they work that in combination with a suspended list or...
like a commissioner's exempt list? That goes against the theory that I have that they're going to announce something soon, though. So that's hard. I don't see that path, especially the fact that you see Deshaun now starting to settle these cases, 20 of the 24. I don't know if like the settlement is needed for the other four before they announce their suspension. I think that a year... look, I don't think... I'm not going to completely rule that out. Like, I think it's within the realm of possibility. If I'm trying to predict a range, I don't see them going longer than a year. I don't see them doing fewer than 8 games. So my range is 8 games to the full season, and I lean closer to the full season. Like, you're not going to suspend them 15 games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost 8 or the full year. You're really not going to go in between. Like, 12 games, doubtful. So I think we're either going to see 8 games or we're going to see the full season.
I tend to believe that it could be a year. It could be a year and a half. I think that, and you make a good point about why you wouldn't do like a breaking point in mid-season. But I just feel like that there's that little extra kind of jab at them by the way the fact that he's not losing the money to basically get back at them. I think they'd like to roll it over into next season, at least a couple of games, just because they can, because they thought that the Browns did what they did to try and circumvent it.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that idea. That'd be good for the Texans. Yeah,
maybe I'm wildly off base, but I've spent most of this offseason, and I questioned it a little bit when a couple more cases came out, you know, a few weeks ago. But I find myself thinking it's going to be closer to 6 games. Like, I really do.
Think of the uproar, though.
I don't think the back... with all the backlash and all of the details that came out, I don't think you can go as mild as 6 and the Bauer case.
I mean, I just look at the NFL in general and how they've treated suspensions, and I'm not even talking about Ray Rice. Like, the NFL tries to do things as light as they can possibly get away with. And I don't know if I agree that the uproar is going to be insane over 6 games. It's all civil cases.
Well, I think you're dismissing the impact of the civil cases. The fact that it's sexual misconduct is a huge deal.
But you guys are so, like, and I don't just mean just you. I mean, like, the city of Houston is so in this. We are hanging on every piece of news in a way that the country isn't.
Well, I disagree with that last part. And that's where I think that the uproar is different, at least in my opinion, from your opinion. Because you're right. The NFL has a history of leniency. The NFLPA has a history of kind of getting over on the NFL when it comes to players' suspensions and things of that like. Where I disagree with, like, the national uproar is you have HBO doing a real sports piece on Deshaun Watson that led to a lot of attention, one, with other masseuses with Deshaun Watson. It's led to more cases against Deshaun Watson. It's made everybody else look at Deshaun Watson. The Times piece was not great for Deshaun's look. I think that would lead to a national uproar. And if you just watch ESPN, anytime Deshaun Watson speaks, they cut from whatever they're doing and looking at Deshaun Watson.
Well, NFL Network does it too, yeah.
Right. I think you're minimizing the national uproar that this would have.
I think the fact that it is still, because it's also part of the news cycle in which the NFL is in a down period before the start of training camp.
Yeah, this the is, lead, right?
Yeah, this is the lead story. And so the draft is behind them. Camp hasn't started yet. And this hasn't been resolved. And now, because of the biggest contract in NFL history and the fact that that the trade drew what it did in terms of the haul the Texans got back, made it even bigger, too, because it's one of the bigger trades in league history. And now you're looking at it from so many different perspectives. That's why I think everything was magnified, starting with how many games he's probably going to get.
I think that, like, on a national scale, and in general, to be totally honest with you, I think that what the average person, and I'm not saying that this is right, cares about is how long he's going to miss. From the interesting standpoint of how it affects the NFL.
Look at Florio, too. Look at Florio's coverage of this. Florio's been all over it.
I think six games is on the low side, but like I don't see a year.
So your range is like six to ten or something like that?
Yeah, 6 to 10 is where I would put
I'm at 8 in a full year, and somebody texting in, too, about blankers. How about commissioner exempt for this year and suspension full season next year, depending on like what else happens? I think the NFL is going to want a definitive answer and then also have the ability to go back and change things. I don't think the commissioner's exempt list is going to work, especially with the fact that Deshaun set out the whole year last year and got paid.
I think here's what I'll say on that. I think that if he didn't settle 20 of the 24 today and that we had four new ones, I think the exempt list was more of a possibility.
Agree.
I think now that we are where we're at.
Some headway, right?
I think that that's probably been minimized.
If NFL once a year, they should give them more and know it will be reduced in appeals. Josh in Beaumont, who also says, I would expect the settlements bring more accusations within the week. Watson thinks he's untouchable and eventually it will cost him again. Josh in Beaumont, that's to the point you were making in the first segment where maybe there's somebody that's an unlicensed masseuse that's been on the brink of coming forth with charges that, you know, we haven't seen the figure. It's not supposed to be released. I imagine it gets out there. Maybe they see that and it gives them a little bit of a drive, a little bit of a motivation to potentially come forward. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll keep getting your reaction thoughts on this. 713-780-3776. And we'll try to talk about what we were trying to talk about at 12:15. What would the Cleveland Browns look like with Watson, without Deshaun Watson next? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We have a couple of texters that are saying that the settlements with Deshaun and 20 of the 24 Tony Busby clients are that it makes sure that nothing else pops up. Could not disagree more. Because, okay, maybe Busby makes that agreement with Harden. All right, these are the 24. We can settle 20 of these 24. We're not going to bring anything else forward. I'm not going to bring anything else forward. That doesn't prevent, like, Lawyer Dave from having a client.
Jim Adler, and I represent case number 27, and I'm hammering him.
Busby's not the only one that can file charges against Deshaun Watson. Busby, look, maybe let's take that notion seriously from the texter. Okay, Tony Busby agrees to that with Rusty Harden. That doesn't disqualify Adler from coming forth with some charges. So I disagree with that comment. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, what do the Browns look like? Finally get to it. What do the Browns look like with or without Deshaun Watson? Because the Houston Texans said earlier they own their 2022 draft pick. They did. But the next pick that they own of theirs, of course, the 2023 first rounder and more. They also have the 2024 pick and more. But the 2022 season, which affects the 2023 NFL draft, is really the one at risk here, right? It's really the one that we're discussing. Because of Deshaun Watson's suspension length and whatever he gets. What do you think the Browns look like with and or without Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think the obvious thing is that with him instead of Baker Mayfield, I think they're a playoff team. And I think that They compete for that division. I said a year ago, depending on how Baker Mayfield played with the whole weight of the entire team on his shoulders, and then obviously he separated one of them, I thought it was the most complete roster other than quarterback in the NFL. I thought that the depth that they had at every skill position on the defensive side of the football, everything that they had going for them, including two really, really stud running backs, I thought set them up to be a Super Bowl quality roster. But you are as Baker Mayfield plays, and he played you into not making the playoffs. With Deshaun Watson, just making that switch alone, I believe that's a team that would make the playoffs with a potential to do a lot more. I don't think they're better than the Bills. I don't think that they're going to compete with the Chiefs per se. But I believe that they're in the discussion for one of the top three or four teams in the AFC.
Yeah, with Watson. I like to look at things as ranges too. Like, I could see, it's not to me completely out of the equation that the Cleveland Browns could be an AFC contender with Deshaun Watson playing at his best. Now, there are some style of play things that I don't love about Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson makes a lot of negative plays. And one of the things that I look for in a quarterback and offensively is to keep the ball rolling, keep the positive momentum. There's a lot of times where you take a sack on a second down and seven. Now you're looking at a third and 14. It ends the drive. Deshaun Watson at times can be a drive killer with his style of play. Now, there's difficulties with him making the easy play a lot of times too. But with that comes the fantastic side of Deshaun Watson that obviously everybody would be willing to, you know, take the bad because of the good that he has, and it's why he got the biggest contract, or guaranteed contract, in NFL history.
It's almost a positive, Jeremy, if that's possible, to kind of slow him down and keep him from himself, because he has so many resources and weapons, right? He has the most complete offensive repertoire that he had since he's been in the league. And a lot of people, you know, I'm one of those people that said, look, you can say how well he performed and threw the football around. He won four games. Most of the time he's playing from behind, so he was putting a lot of padded stats up there. But it was also some of the plays, the specific plays that he made that you went, oh, he's special.
He's got the razzle-dazzle. He's got the wow factor.
But you don't have to have as much razzle-dazzle when you have so many different, from the bailout to just dumping it to the tight end or a back out of the backfield, to the simple plays of handing the ball off to Nick Chubb and letting him get you five on a carry. You don't have to be as special. And you got a guy like Amari Cooper that they added on the outside for him, too. So he's got weapons and resources that means he doesn't have to do as much, and maybe his stats won't look as flashy.
Right.
But
can he play that way?
I think that he has to. I think, right? You know, I think the other thing is that I think in the back of his mind, he realizes this is, financially he's fine. But in terms of his career, he better play the way Kevin Stefanski, and he's working with a guy as opposed to what he had here in Houston. He's working with a guy that is highly regarded as one of the really genius offensive minds in the NFL for this new way of playing offense.
Uh-huh.
If you don't listen to Stefanski and do what they're asking you to do in this offense, then you're an idiot, because you have the setup to resurrect your football career and be respected as a guy that can play the game of football again. But if you fight it, and you go back to your old ways, and you're the reason they lose after coming off the reason they lost was Baker Mayfield, that's not a good look.
The game that I look at for Deshaun Watson that to me symbolizes who he is as a quarterback is the playoff game at home against Buffalo, where Deshaun Watson for 3.5 quarters was awful, and the Houston Texans offense was awful for 3.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden he has heroic play after heroic play, and they come away with a victory against the Bills. Like, that's Deshaun Watson in a nutshell, where there's going to be some, like, just head-scratching plays. Why are you taking that sack? Why is that a negative play? You're killing my drive.
Why didn't you get rid of it?
You're not get rid of it. Why didn't you complete the easy pass? Like, there's a lot of negative to Deshaun Watson, but then the razzle-dazzle and the highlight play, the positive outweighs the negative, but $240 million is a lot. But that said, like you mentioned, I think to me, you created the path to Cleveland being very successful, where you don't want to put a governor on Deshaun Watson, but you want him to be able to make the easy plays when the easy plays present themselves. And there is a lot of help around him offensively with Hunt, with Chubb, with Amari Cooper, Njoku, who they re-signed as well. A good offensive line, good running game. Like, they don't even need Deshaun Watson to be a great quarterback with that running game.
With those two studs in the backfield, you don't have to do a whole lot.
And they have a defense. You know what I mean?
And the reason why Patrick Mahomes, who was a gunslinger in college, but when he got with Andy Reid and he got with a whole talent pool around him in the offensive room,
yep,
when you do need that resource to rear its head and play playground football and extend plays and make a big play, you got a guy that's capable of doing it for you. So you got a guy that can make the big play when you have to have it. Just along the way, don't try and make every play a big play until you need to.
I think he would need to mature his game from a quarterback perspective.
Maybe this whole process has done a lot of maturing for him
for
in a lot of ways.
Side. Yeah. I mean, I think it would have to from a personal side as well. But remember last year, the Browns were a dark horse team to win the Super Bowl with stinking Baker Mayfield. They upgraded over stinking Baker Mayfield. So I think that the range for the Browns with Deshaun Watson, and we're not talking suspension here. Worst case scenario, I think they're a playoff team. Best case scenario, I think they're a real contender in the AFC. Now, if we're looking at the Cleveland Browns 2022, and if you have thoughts, 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. If Deshaun Watson suspended for the entire season, I think the Baker Mayfield idea that, oh, he'll play a season for Cleveland, I believe that that notion is a myth. It's not going to happen. They signed Jacoby Brissett as well. So now you're looking at a season with Jacoby Brissett at the helm for the Cleveland Browns. What are the Browns with Jacoby and no Deshaun Watson if he is suspended for a season?
If they're lucky, they're a wild card team, in my opinion. You still have to throw the football. You still have to. And Jacoby's known more as a runner than a passer anyway. And you already got a running game that we mentioned. So that means that defensive coordinators that come to play the Browns or that are going to play the Browns on the schedule are going to load up the box and say, we dare you to beat us passing the football. And I think more times than not, he's going to struggle. And he's also older. And I don't think he's what he was when he was running the ball with some relative ease when he got out of the pocket. And I think that as good as they are with the rest of the roster, the quarterback, as we know, is such an important position in this league that I think that could they sneak into the playoffs as a wild card with extra wild cards to be had? Sure. But I think that's the ceiling.
Jacoby, to me, is kind of like he's not as athletic as he used to be. Like, he's kind of, can be a bit of a statue at times because he had the ability to get out of the pocket every now and then, sure. But he's not like Jalen Hurts. But I would put him on, a much older version. I don't know if I want to make that comparison, actually. But Jacoby Brissett, I'm with you on the range. Like, to me, the best-case scenario is they're like the Eagles. That's where I was going there. To where they go 9-8, and maybe they can get the last wild card spot in the AFC. Like, I don't think they're a 10-7 team with Jacoby. Could they pull off 9-8? Yeah. Could they sneak into the playoffs if everything falls right, the dominoes fall into place? Yeah, at 9-8. But with Jacoby Brissett, I could also see him going 5-12. I think 5 wins to 9 wins is the range with Jacoby Brissett. Or with Deshaun Watson, it's probably 9 to 10 wins, the bottom of the range, with a legit Super Bowl contender with Deshaun, which kind of makes you realize why they traded for Deshaun Watson, right? Because even with Baker Mayfield, they were probably more in the Jacoby Brissett range than the Deshaun Watson range. Even with all of the civil cases and all the saga and all the drama of Deshaun Watson, he does make the Browns a bona fide contender in the AFC, where if all goes well, maybe they can live up to the fruition of being a dark horse Super Bowl team like they were a year ago.
Yeah, I think with them, the sky's the limit, and the dark horse Super Bowl candidate is in play. I think without him, I think you're looking at a team that, from a management perspective, from an ownership perspective, they should be really freaked out about the fact that with the big move that they made, there's more of a chance that they miss the playoffs than that they compete for a Super Bowl. And with that, with you not having your own draft pick or picks,
right,
you're not getting any better any other way than if you get a free agent that decides at the end of the year, hey, maybe I want to be that stopgap veteran quarterback that gets a chance to fill in while Deshaun, if he's still out, is still out. Or it solidifies me and gives me another year on a roster where I got a chance to win a ring and I'm better than Jacoby Brissett. But it definitely sets them back, and I definitely don't see them being anything to be worried about without Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
1194 text in to the HRMP listener line. Busby's the only lawyer willing to take the cases.
I disagree.
Let me set the scene here. If you're an attorney and you just saw today that Tony Busby got 20 of his 24 clients, let's just say a six-figure settlement, you're looking at 100,000 times 20. What attorney in the world that practices that kind of law is saying no to somebody who knocks on his door and says, I have a really good case against Deshaun Watson?
Here's the other thing, Jeremy. What if you're an up-and-coming lawyer, but you've been struggling to really establish yourself and make a name for yourself, and Busby is about done with his portion of the program, and suddenly out of left field, here comes this hotshot new make-a-name-for-myself attorney that is representing two more clients or one more client, and suddenly all those cameras and all those microphones and all those interviews are heading his direction. And suddenly a guy that no one knew about 5 minutes ago is a household name in the sports world because he's being interviewed on the almost daily basis until it's rectified. Going now, Busby, step aside. You know, Jim Smith is here, who's representing, you know, client number 26 and 27. And Jim tells us this one might drag on for a while.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, when we come back, the Astros are about to hit a critical portion of their schedule. Their next nine games are against the New York teams, which happen to be the two best records in all of baseball. Do you have a negative feeling going into the Mets series? Do you expect the worst? And what do you need to see for the Astros over the next nine games? We discuss next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.